Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Join me right now in knowing that laughter is a good thing. Joy is a good thing. The infinite all there is presents us joy in every moment, in this moment. And right here, right now, we are feeling that connection, being with that oneness, the divine intelligence that operates in and through each and every one of us. And as we sit here today, we can realize with what resonates with us, that's the feeling of the divine connecting to the divine. In deep gratitude, I surrender this prayer to the creative medium and say thank you, sweet spirit. And so it is.
Everybody take a big deep breath. Our hearts are open. Thank you. Thank you. Who in here is not a descendant of an immigrant? Do we have any First Peoples? So that song was about all of us. I want to honor in gratitude. And in gratitude, we recognize that we are gathered here on the traditional and unceded territory of the Lummi, Nooksack, Samish, and Semiahu peoples, who have cared for and tended this land since time immemorial. We are grateful to be joined in stewardship in this time of care and to tend this beautiful land. And I would say, aho. We are on land that is sacred, on land that has been tended by peoples. I have a good friend back in Atlanta named Kayon, who is a Cherokee. His family are the Cherokee storytellers, timekeepers. And I asked him, I mentioned to him one time that I had traveled to Canada where I heard people talk about the First Peoples. And he just laughed, as he often did at anything I said. And he said, well, how do you know who the First Peoples are? Are they the two-leggeds that came wandering in from other parts of the planet? Are they the one-leggeds that were here long before us? Are they the four-leggeds that were here long before us? Who are the First Peoples? The important part is honoring all peoples who tend this land. There's a beautiful line in the beginning, or in the second part of the principles that we teach and talk about, the principles, Declaration of Principles, that says that we, well, let me read it. That'll be better than me paraphrasing it. It says, the manifest universe is the body of God. Now that's a really different kind of idea than what you get in most religions these days. God created all of this, but somehow is separate from it, and you got to find the bridge to get back to it. Anybody grow up with that stuff? No. What we believe is that the manifest universe, all of this creation, is the body of God. It doesn't have to do anything to become that, it already is. It's the logical and necessary outcome of the infinite self-knowingness of God, of this infinite power, this universal presence. And I know the word God is not the best word to use these days because it's too often associated with out there and separate. But this power that is everything shows up and understands and knows itself as all of this. And there are very few places on the planet, there are a few, where I feel it any more than I feel it right here in the Northwest, where you have these amazing trees and this beautiful the interplay of land and water and light and rain and all of the stuff that happens here in such a rich, powerful way. And those of you who have tended this land, and your ancestors who have tended this land, have maintained and saved so much of it. And I am such in deep gratitude for that. You know, it's an important part of the identity of this center that you are the stewards of, what, 7 acres, 6 acres, something like that. And you have taken that so seriously as long as this place has been here. And when we see pictures from other parts of the country, we've seen enough pictures of this center that when you hear Bellingham, you see trees. You think of the land and the buildings and the people. You have built a consciousness here and a place here that is bigger than you are and bigger than you have yet understood or imagined. That's part of my talk for next week, but I couldn't help it. You got me started. It's all your fault. Yeah, here is where we are, and here is where we stand, and here is where we are stewards of this place. And thank you, Philip, for the graphic, for this thing. When I first saw it, it's not up there now, you saw it at the beginning, you saw the person diving. Our theme for this whole month is deep dive, or dive deeply. And the first talk is today on honoring those who came before, the shoulders on whose shoulders we stand. And when I saw that picture, I thought, what was he thinking? Where does this diving person come from? I haven't asked him about this. I don't know if this is what you were thinking. But then I started laughing because I realized, wait a minute. If for all of us who grew up around a lot of water, at least I did, and everybody I know in my part of the world, when we were kids, we loved going swimming, whether it was in the river or the spring or a swimming pool or whatever. And one of the most fun things to do was dive in the water off of your parents' shoulders. Now, I don't know if that was your image, but man, I got it. It's like, that's what we're doing. We're diving deeper off the shoulders of those who have brought us this far. We're going to do a meditation at the end today where I'm going to invite you to really get in touch with that history that we each carry. But for right now and in this time, I want to remind you of some of those shoulders that you stand on. Who knows where the idea of the phrase, thought consciousness is the great reality, and all of the things happening in the real world around you are just passing by, but thought consciousness is forever. Anybody know where that kind of idea came from? Nobody? Come on, now's your chance. You guys tested me last time I was here. So now I'm doing this back. You get a chance. This is called test the audience. Well, Einstein's a good idea because Einstein probably said it. But way before that, way before that, ancient Greek philosophy. Ancient Greek. Marc Aurelius, Plotinus, others. In that ancient Greek. See, we think this is a new up-and-coming, flash-in-the-pan kind of thing we got going here called New Thought. In truth, this is New Thought, ancient history. It is not built on some new thing that Ernest Holmes made up about 100 years ago, even though he did a lot. This is an ancient teaching. This is a teaching that is new because it draws from so many places. You know, this whole Greek idea has stayed alive and well in Western thought all the way through, even though for about 500-600 years, we didn't even know about Greek anything in the West. But it stayed alive in our minds and our consciousness, and when they began to discover it in the 17th and 18th century, being able to decipher some of those ancient texts and such, and went, oh, wow, look at that. That's where it came from. And it became a really hot topic among talking. Kind of like people get excited now, you know, about new things and things we think are new that we haven't heard before. So that's one place, the ancient Greeks. Another area of these folks on whose shoulders we stand. They already mentioned on the front row here, the Emerson. Emerson was an American transcendentalist. They weren't a group that called themselves that. That's what we call them, looking back at them. They'd probably laugh at that. But there were a group of men and women who used pen names in order to write and get published, because women couldn't be published back then, because we all know they didn't know how to read or write or weren't smart or any of that. Notice how it cuts out when I said all that.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, I'm listening. Yeah. You know, and Emerson, interestingly, one of the powerful things about him, he was a scholar. He was a Christian to begin with. He stopped his whole involvement with the Christian church whenever he had to start doing Eucharist, you know, Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, whatever you guys call it, and had to say that all the great truth that ever happened then and there, and that was it, and we're just clay. We're just part of the stuff. And so what he did was he started exploring Eastern thought. And at one point, Emerson had the largest library of English translated Eastern literature in the United States. And our teaching grows directly out of that. Because early in his life, Ernest Holmes, who's the founder of this teaching, found a copy of some Emerson writings on his this is getting really bad. Thank you. On his brother's coffee table. I didn't know they had coffee tables in the end of the 18th century, but apparently they did, and picked it up and started reading it. And in his early thought formation years, Emerson had a huge impact. And Emerson said things like, "Hitch your wagon to a star." Did you know that was his? It was a song, too, back sometime or other, before I remember. He said a lot of really cool things. One of my favorites, Emerson quote, was, "Get your bloated nothingness out of the way." I've talked about bloated nothingness here before, I think. Yeah, you okay. You've seen my bloated nothingness, that's for sure. Get it out of the way of the divine circuits, so that the divine circuits that are already alive and well within you can operate. They're operating. They just have trouble getting through, because we get so much other stuff piled on top of it. We forget that thought is what counts. We forget that consciousness is what creates, not something outside of it. I was reading too. Well, come back. Focus. You know, another great history then which says then that our idea of God that we talk about here all the time is not a Christian idea of God. And sorry, folks, I know some of you here are Christians, and I celebrate that. And I'm not making anybody else wrong. I'm saying that the idea of God that we teach in New Thought and New Thought Ancient Wisdom is the Hindu idea of God, which is the idea that God is this energetic, creative power that is behind and inside and part of everything that exists. We say it in our principles. We believe in God, the living spirit, almighty, one, indestructible, absolute, self-existent cause. Call it God, call it spirit, call it big sweetie, call it whatever you want to. The one manifests itself in and through all creation, but isn't absorbed by its creation. In other words, it isn't just sucked up so that there's no more of it to go around. It isn't all contained in this one principle or one ritual or even one idea of itself. This great power that in which we live and move that creates everything is available right here, right now, within each of us. That's a grand idea. And it's a new thought, and it's an ancient wisdom. It's shoulders on which we stand. You know, one of the things we used to do in Science and Mind, especially in the organization that you used to be part of, which we aren't supposed to talk about anymore, because we are united now. But it was an organization in which we honored our ancestors in a different way. And that is, anytime someone got up to speak, they would say, "Hi, I'm Dr. Bob. My teacher was Kennedy Schultz. His teacher was Raymond Charles Barker, who was best friends and a co-teacher with Ernest Holmes, the founder of this teaching." And anyone who got to speak, anyone who did, who would honor those ancestors. So some of the ancestors and shoulders on whom we stand right here, right now, are the founders of this beautiful center, who helped create that in those declarations that you have made about your values and what you carry forward, and including the honoring of this land. Bob and Colleen, they aren't here today. I'm assuming they're overplayed on the island somewhere. It's so much fun to say that. You got islands all around you. You get to ride ferries all the time. It's really fun. And then my dear, dear friend was here for a number of years, which is how I first got to know you, Jane Ryder, now Dr. Jane Ryder. And then there have been other ministers, and I was going to get a list and read them all to you, and I failed to do that. Some of my bloated nothingness got in the way, and I didn't do it. And now for the last, 14, 15 years, you had Andrea, Dr. A, you call her, who helped build and took a community that was struggling and turned it into this massive, amazing community. But you know what? She didn't do that by herself. She couldn't have. She only one little lady. She couldn't have created this. You guys did this. This building, this land is here standing on the shoulders of the people who acquired it and who found it and who built it and added to it. I understand it used to kind of be a barn. It was a barn. Wow. I like being in barns like this. You know? Great joy and appreciation for all that they did and all that they have brought forward in that. So rich and so wonderful. And there are more, and I'm sure I've forgotten somebody really important, and you'll fill in the blanks in your own minds and your own thoughts, and make it all be what it should be for you. You know, there's monotheism that showed up in the ancient Egyptians, and that got fed into the Greek philosophy, and there's also the monotheism in Judaism that they got from the Egyptians, and on it goes. These thought paths have gone on and on over time. And with all of our exciting, jumping around, philosophical exploration, you know, there are whole libraries dedicated to just explaining just three or four things, like the Ten Commandments. The theological library where I went to school had three rooms trying to explain the Ten Commandments. I mean, we go great extent to try to understand and explain these philosophies and these ideas. And you know, all the time that's been going on, underneath and behind it, is this kind of steady hum. This bump, 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 kind of like a drum of what the original folks knew. Connected to the earth, feel the energy of her. God is in that, as that, showing up as it, and it's right here for you anytime. You don't have to have a philosophy to attach to it. You just have to stare at the sunset. You have to take a walk in the forest. You have to stop the chitter-chatter brain long enough to breathe and hear and feel and connect with the divine. And when that happens, our souls, our hearts, our minds are rejuvenated, filled. When your heart is open and you're able to experience that, it becomes an amazing and wonderful opportunity. That's why it's so powerful and so important that we continue to honor the indigenous folks of all the planets. And it's so interesting. I've studied and been in indigenous situations and with indigenous peoples on different continents. And what I see and know and what people write about is they're so much the same. They didn't communicate. They didn't have TV or internet any of that. But their philosophies are so similar, so much alike, so much the same. Part of what I love about Ernest Holmes is that he's the AI of the early 1900s. He took all of this stuff. He had an inquisitive mind where they used to he was the youngest of seven brothers, and they fussed about him all the time because he never would really have a conversation. He'd just keep asking questions, and when they would answer, instead of carrying on with the conversation, "Well, yeah, I think so. So, yeah, I agree with you," he'd ask another question. You know, so, and then another question, and then another question. And what was so amazing about him was he kept all of the answers. He remembered them. And as he got older, he began to synthesize Emerson, Thoreau, all of the various, you know, the early readings that he had and information he had on Eastern thought, on Hinduism, and on Buddhism, which is such an important part of this center's history and legacy, and can't go without being mentioned. So he pulled all that together and handed the whole package to you and said, "Here you go. Now make a life." Here, here, exactly. Make a life. Actually, you don't have to make a life. You had a life. It's already given to you. It was handed to you on a platter when you came out kicking and screaming and yelling and hollering and doing all the things tiny babies do. What we get to do is choose and decide what we're going to do with that life. You know, how we want to live and how we want to live in our day-to-day, every day. And there is no wrong way to do it. Oh, yeah, but... Well, yeah, there's some behaviors out there I just assume we don't have. Okay. It's some pretty mean things that people do to each other. All that's because they don't know who we are. We don't know who we are. People are still figuring that out. But when you get it, you don't have to do that mean shit stuff anymore. Excuse me. Because you don't need it. Because you don't know it. Because you know better. You know the truth about you. Huh. See, here's the other thing or two that we teach. We believe in the incarnation of this great spirit that is us in all people. And that all people are incarnations of the one spirit. All people, immigrants, those who are locking them up. That's harder, huh? For some people. I have some family members that are cheering for that. Breaks my heart. Breaks their heart that I think the way I do. Because they're really worried about me. Genuinely, because they love me and care about me. This is not a simple thing. You can say this is right and that is wrong. There is a mix. And it's all coming up because we've been declaring for years now, we want a world that works for everyone. And that means everyone has a voice at the table, even the people we don't like, and even the people we don't want to have a voice. Now, we've got to figure out how to balance those voices, and we're going to get there. It's going to take a while, but we're going to get there. We've been struggling with that as long as we've been humans, haven't we? Even in your beautiful song, the soldiers versus the beloved caretaker, pushing the wheelbarrow right on through. All of those different dynamics are there, and I can't explain to you how or why or what it should do. What I can tell you is when you connect with the truth of spirit that you are, there's peace. And then you take the action that is yours to take, and you'll know what that is. And we don't have to come together and figure it out. You just know, and you do it. And I hope you do it. I hope you take it forward. So I'm going to give two more, and then we're going to start wrapping up. We believe in healing the sick through the power of the mind. We believe that we can use this powerful mind of ours to heal the sick. We say, well, what about medical care? What about going and what about taking an aspirin when you've got a headache? Well, a mind created that aspirin and figured that out a mind figured out that you could do surgeries and do certain procedures to heal people. So it doesn't mean it's the mind without anything else. It's not sitting on a stump and just, you know, it's doing that when you need to, but it's also taking action that the mind is creating and bringing forward for you. We also believe in the control of conditions through the power of this mind. We speak our minds in this country. I love it. We spoke our minds a few weeks ago when as many people were out in the streets celebrating the idea of freedom, more people out in the streets celebrating the idea of freedom than the idea of tyranny, and people celebrating the idea of control, not seeing it as tyranny. All sides showing up and celebrating, and they should, because that's what this great experiment has been. This is where that whole idea of one power coming together in all of its expressions and ideas has come to expression. And we're doing it. We're duking it out in this country in a way to try and find how do we bring together all these disparate ideas and thoughts and create a world that works for everyone. Create a democracy. Create a place where people really can be themselves, even if themselves looks very different from the themselves across the street. Yeah. So I promised you a meditation, and I'm going to do it. So I'll just warn you right now. We're going to go over time a little bit, about 5 minutes. And fire me, okay? yeah. Deep breath. Get quiet. Go within. Imagine yourself standing in the city, floating in the middle, the center of your life. You are the center of your universe that extends beyond measure in all directions. And just take a couple of nice breaths there. And now reach, imagine looking to your left. Seeing your mother, your father, your grandparents, your history, your family going back generation after generation, multiplying into the hundreds of people who have contributed to you being here in this moment right now. Looking all the way back as far as you want to see. Seeing that family tree just spread out from various parts of the world, from all of the things that are a part of that. And feel the energy of their support, their love, their contribution to your life down through the ages to you in this moment. Look to your right. And you see your life spreading out and going forward of the generations to follow you. Whether you have physical children or not, you all have children. You all have children. Ideas, thoughts, things you've started, things you've created. See that moving forward and expanding and growing into a flourishing expression beyond your yet imagined time. And give thanks. Now imagine looking down below your feet through the earth into the universe. But you see these eons and eons, the millions of years of evolution, the rocks, the fire, the water, the beginnings of life on the planet, the developing of life as it grows into plant and animal forms and shapes, and see it get more and more complex until it evolves in, after billions of years, into you, an individual. You stand on that ancient, ancient evolution. And if your imagination will carry you there, look up. Look at where you go from here. What is the evolution of humanity from here? See it. And now bring your attention right back to your heart. Breathing in, breathing out. Honoring who you are, where you are, why you're here, and look right in front of you and you'll see your next step. Whatever your question, there's your next step. You step out with the support of generations of humanity, of eons of development, and you move forward to the next great expression of you. You are the shoulders on which the next generation stands. Let they be broad, strong, adequate. It is with great gratitude that we honor all of the ancestors, that we honor all who have contributed to each of us in being here in this moment at this place. We give great thanks to the power of life that is showing up in this way. And in this gratitude, we say thank you, thank you, thank you. We let it be, and so it is.